Another way to make money is a way that has been around for, let me think now, about 75 years. Is it? Yeah, 75 years this year. It's been, it's gotten better over the years. But it really got better last year with the opportunities. You heard Governor talk about it before. I think more strides, more barriers were removed last year under the legislation that Governor Patterson signed than any time prior to the initial enactment of the Randolph-Shepard Act. There was a 1992 law that was signed, but it gave the priority, it codified the places that were there, but we had those places already. A lot of our guys were here in Albany on the campus and in the plaza and other places like that. We were in state office buildings down in the city and out in Buffalo. We were already in those businesses, and it simply gave security to that. This piece of legislation removed all the exemptions from 1992. The state is open to us. The world is open to the blind guys in this program. Randolph-Shepard was very, very good to me, very, very good to several, many people in this room. It's still good to many guys in this room. How many of you guys are either past or present Randolph-Shepard? Say aye. Yeah. How many of you even like Randolph-Shepard, guys? Say aye. Guys, okay. The rest of you could have said hi. Come on, we ain't so bad. Anyway, having said that, it's entitled A New Day in the Vending Program. It really is a new day. To see what kind of a new day that's going to look like, what a better couple of years it's going to look like for blind people in this state, I give you the new director of the Business Enterprise Program, Steve Moore.
If I had $1 million,
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 I'd be rich.
I want to thank Carl for inviting me to speak with this group. It's a pretty lively group. We never do songs at our meetings at CBVH. So.
That's because you guys are boring. OGS won't give you sound equipment either.
I took this position about 8 months ago, but I've been around a lot longer than that and in the BEP program for many years now. And to me, the BEP program was always working with our managers, maintaining operations, making sure people were making money, making sure the equipment worked, looking for an opportunity wherever we could here or there. But that all changed last year, and with the signing into law of this new amendment. We now have a lot more opportunity available to us and really handed to us. So we are in the process now of trying to gear up and improve all of our supports and operations so that we can meet this challenge and really open up a lot of new opportunities for our managers and the blind in New York State. We are looking at this really as a long, ramped up plan. So we're looking at setting basic structural changes in the program and upgrades in the program. The increases we see coming will go on for years and years, we feel. So, first thing that we are looking at getting done here is regulations. We've got a draft of the regulations. It's been working its way through our legal operation now. That will be going to the next phase, which is the comment period and everything. Basically, the regulations will tell us how we implement the new amendment. We have been developing a list of the new players in this. All of the authorities are now open to us, SUNY, Department of Corrections, airports. So we have been developing a list of who these people are, what the contacts are, trying to get some background information about what their current operations are, how they do business. And we are also working now on developing the introduction letter that is going to go out very soon to probably about 100 of these people on the list to get things started. We in-house are looking at our financial operations. This is going to take money and investment to pull this off. And again, that's going to be a bigger and bigger challenge as we move. This really picks up speed. So we are setting up our own financial monitoring within the BEP unit now, so we have a better idea of where our money's coming from, how much we have, how much we can project for to future purposes in developing sites. We're planning on our own, setting up our own repair and purchase budgets within the program, because we still have to maintain current operations, make sure all of our existing 92 operations are healthy and making money, and with good equipment, with all the support we can give them. And then on top of that, we're going to have to expand that into every new site that we take on. We have been working on our project management. As we take on sites, we will have to do build outs, we'll have to do adaptations, we'll have to buy fixturing, equipment, that kind of thing. So right now we have a pretty good arrangement that we've developed over the last couple of years with the Office of General Services. Working with the Office of General Services used to mean about an 8 or 10 year time period to get a project from the idea to opening the door. We've knocked that down to less than a year now. They have contracted a bunch of good architects. It's a different group that we're working with in OGS now. And they feel they can handle, with the money that we're projecting, with the operations that they support us with, we're looking, we can handle at this point, probably 10 or more projects a year. And again, that will have to build as we go. Training, that's gonna be a major upgrade for us. We're gonna have to take on training a lot more people. We want to have people trained very well. We want to have people very successful, especially at the outset of this program. We don't want to take on a new site and stumble and get a manager that doesn't know what they're doing in there. It won't help the manager. It won't help us with future opportunities with that organization. Our training is now in-house in the Business Enterprise Program. So that's our current staff are providing that training. We have a work group active right now with the Vocational Rehabilitation Group and with the BEP group trainers. And we're basically going through the whole training program, looking at ways to upgrade that, improve it, streamline it. We are also working with Voc Rehab in improving our communications between Business Enterprise and VR. We feel that the more we can educate the vocational rehabilitation counselor as to the challenges and requirements of running a business enterprise program facility, the better candidates we can find out there. They'll know more of the basic requirements of running, they'll know the realities of running a business and the risks of running a business and the challenges, and hopefully they will be able to screen their caseloads and come up with people that are a much better fit and can make very successful managers. And we're going to have to ramp up the number of referrals we get as well. We are upgrading our office database system. And again, this is all looking to build for the future, so because we're going to be tracking more facilities, more managers, more equipment, more financial reports. So we get that upgraded. That'll help us manage more without adding more people, hopefully. Staffing, though, is an issue. Especially as we project this out future years, as this grows, we will have to take on more business service specialists to help manage stores. We may have to come up with additional training staff. One of our ideas is eventually to get dedicated training staff in every office. But we also have a lot of supports existing right now. Our current staff, we feel, can handle the initial phase of this expansion and get things off and running. We can take on a bunch of new locations, I think, with our current staff levels, but we will be pushing, of course, to increase those numbers as we proceed. Tech support, we're looking at, for a lot of these future locations, we're looking at, one of the very successful parts of the present program is running vending machines and vending operations. That and just maintenance of other equipment, refrigeration, repairs on other pieces of equipment that we have. We are looking to create some redundancies in the backup that we have for all this now, especially in the vending area, though. We'll take on vending contracts. We may take on more vending routes. We have just about enough service right now to cover what we have. And in the current market, there's very few players out there that provide this service. So we're looking at different innovative ways of developing extra coverage on that. It'll probably involve creating some contracts with companies to put on people, dedicate them to our service. We would like to have at least a couple reliable places to go for service. If one company gives out, we need to have a backup. We can't be without service and meet the requirements that we've set down to provision of services for our customers. We are also looking at purchasing the services of a site development contractor. Now, the idea we have with this is that we will make the initial contacts with the new groups that we'll be dealing with. We'll talk about the kind of locations that they might have, but then we will bring in the site development contractor to help us do the legwork. So they could then get involved, they can look into more detail, review contracts, expiration dates, services that are available, help negotiate agreements for where we're going to put our stores or where we're going to take services or take contract services, that kind of thing, and work as our agent on behalf of the program. It's just another way of getting more feet on the road out there and more people working on this with limited staff. There's a lot of states do partnering too. Typically that's with food service operations and Department of Defense locations. We're also looking at developing this in New York State, not just for the DOD. We don't have a lot of opportunity for DOD locations here, but we see this as also a support for taking on new business where it may be a little bigger than what we can handle. We could bring in a partner, bring in a manager to work with them, and provide an extra opportunity that we wouldn't have had without the partner. And revenue contracts, we're working with our contract unit to make sure that we can handle contracts when they come up, that we can do them quickly and efficiently. Part of the legislation gives us priority as well for vending services. So a lot of these organizations have current vending contracts. Our plan is to, as these contracts run out, we will step in and take a number of these with revenues coming to the program as unassigned, or if we have enough of them we can put together, we'll put routes together, or if some sites are big enough, they may become a standalone vending operation. The other plan with this is to, because we have what we feel is quite a bit of opportunity out there, we want to make sure that when we choose a site or decide on a site, that we can generate an income to a manager of at least $50,000, hopefully higher than that. And our intent is really twofold. We want, first of all, to make at least a decent wage for a manager for all the work they put in. But secondly, the larger the facility, the more employees they hire, that's a potential secondary hiring market for us, for managers, or not managers, for other blind individuals who maybe don't want to be managers, but can take on a job as an employee in one of our stores. So we think with the larger facilities, that does give us an improved opportunity in that as well. Besides all these new sites, there's a couple other state sites here that we're looking at too for expansion. Currently, New York State is looking at this plan that they call stacking, where they're trying to put more people into state space or existing space, increase population in some of those areas. We're in a lot of those areas already. That could help us. If they consolidate into areas where there wasn't a population large enough to provide a service before, maybe now there would be. Also, the SAGE Commission is supposed to look at consolidating agencies, and there'll be a lot of change going along with that. So we're watching that very closely. We want to make sure that if there's opportunity, we can take advantage of that to create some income-producing opportunities there. We have a couple projects that are already underway under the new legislation. We're working with the Thruway to put one of our C-stores in their headquarters office right here in Albany. So we have a meeting in next week to actually look at the site and talk about locations. They're looking at consolidating three different buildings into two buildings, which could help us there as well. We've given them a proposal for the site, so we'll have some solid answers on that in a couple weeks. Also with SUNY, we've had some initial meetings with them. We had decided on the plan with them was to create kind of like a pilot project in which we would designate a campus. We would, together with SUNY, go through that whole operation, look at everything they have that they offer under contract for services on campus. We would then help define what we think would be a viable operation for one of our BEP sites or managers or contract sites. And then that would help them, help define for them what we're looking for, and then they could actually apply that kind of thinking to other campuses. We had a very, very positive response from them in that they said, well, do we have to do just one campus? Can we do more than one campus? And we said, certainly that'd be fine. And then at this point, and we're going to be driving out to Buffalo and looking at both campuses in Buffalo and looking at what they have to offer there. They have some ideas about a facility in one of their libraries. So it's a very positive first step, I think, with that as well. So that's about where we're at with that. We're looking to the future for some major big plans and moving ahead. Thank you.
Thanks, Steve. A couple of thoughts, quick thoughts for you. I'm glad to see that you're doing in-house training once again. The most successful training that was done back in the 90s in-house. I think BEP experienced some problems for about 8 years, and there was a change again in 2006 for the positive, so I'm glad you're back to doing the things the way they worked before and in the past. And I guess the only other question that I've gotten, I know I'm not sure that you can even answer it right now, is what's the time? I know you're working on developing it. The sooner we can get a timeline, the more optimistic I think we can all be. We've waited a long time for this, and I guess if you were to say to me, we can do a facility a month, but you're not ready for that yet. What I hear is that you're on the road to developing that plan now. I know people out in the citizenry look at government and say, God, you just take a long time. But I think you guys are moving, you know, pretty good for government. But I guess the sooner you can tell us that you're going to be able to do 6 facilities a year, 10 facilities a year, 20, whatever, I think the better the community will feel about it. And as a result, start funneling people this way, because a $50,000 start is not a bad deal. I think that's more than you can get with a master's in social work right now. So, yeah, I'm not sure if you have any response to that, but I do applaud you for going back to working with managers.
No, as for a timeline, I mean, it's difficult to just, I mean, we can say almost anything we want. What we really want to do is make this happen.
Yeah, and I appreciate you not just saying anything you want me to hear.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we can make projections, and we have been making projections, actually. Just we want to know what we're in for, how we're going to cover the costs, and how we're going to cover the staffing. But I think this will ramp up. I mean, there's a lot of groundwork that has to be set up to make this work and to support this, so we don't stumble when we first head out with this. And it seems like it takes a long time to get off the ground, but there is quite a bit happening. And I think with these two organizations that we're starting with right now, I think we're off to a good start there. We could end up with 2 or 3 sites, you know, in a very short time. And I think with SUNY especially, that'll lead to a lot more. The big thing we're talking about with them is moving on to the highway sites. But those contracts, our legislation doesn't allow us to break a contract, have them break a contract. So basically 2015, 2016, those contracts start running out. Our goal really, though, is with all of these organizations to make our initial contacts, find out what's going on, make some long-term plans. I would like to, at some point, have a plan that maybe goes out 5 years, even longer than that, where we know what's coming up. We know what contracts are coming up. We know where we're going to stand, what kind of services we're going to be providing. We can then plan for that. We can plan for having managers ready. And I think the more we can get in this planning outline, I think the better we'll be to handling it when it comes.
Thanks, Steve. I'll take one question. I will obviously recognize a vendor question. Neville, I think there'll probably be a microphone heading your way in a second. Hold on to the mic, get your way. I can barely hear you up here, I know. I'm pretty sure that Steve won't hear you either.
Raise your hand, Neville.
Best way to get a question answered is to have the question heard.
Steve, I know that the government, federal government, state government, local government, all use consultants on all kinds of projects in order to reduce their costs, at least so they say. What is the possibility of you utilizing members of the BEP program to act as consultants on some of these projects, you know, really getting them going and using those skills that do exist, we know, right off the bat. What are the possibilities of doing that?
Well, we like the idea of consultants because that's a service we can pay for, we can control, and we don't have to wait for civil service and the whole state to support us in getting the people in those jobs. I mean, what we're initially looking for is companies that really have a lot of experience in that. But, you know, to utilize managers, that's a concept. We've kind of knocked that around a little bit already in some conversations. We haven't really come up with a plan that works for that, but if you have any further ideas, I mean, our phones are open, so give us a call.
I do, yep. Not for this meeting, but I have some ideas that went back to Tom's time doing BEP. I thought it was a great idea, and he told me he thought it was a great idea. Yeah, okay, and we're still talking about it. I've been advancing this for a while. I think, Steve, I think you guys are more open now than BEP has been in a long time. I think BEP opened up the windows in 2006, and you are the beneficiary of the breath of fresh air that came through. And I'm looking forward to expanding this program into what it really could become. If I had $1 million, I know people in this country, and Randolph Shepherd, making $1 million. And if they're not making $1 million, they're only making $200,000-$400,000. You know, so they have to get over it. But I do want to thank you, Steve. There are things we will work on through the coming year, and there are probably some specifics I might want to address to Brian later, because there's no sense asking you above your pay grade right now. Steve, thank you very much.